Jesus is here this morning. Jesus is in this place right now. And in this moment, I believe he's releasing the sweetness of his presence over your life. And before we take another step in what today looks like, Holy Spirit, today is your day. This is your time. This is your service, if we could even call it that. There's a sweetness of the presence of God in worship. I saw like just this drizzling of honey over this place this morning. And that indicates to me that there's a sweetness found only in his presence. So before we transition out of worship into a time of the word, take the next minute or so just to receive the love from Jesus. Receive the love from Jesus. Because he's here. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. It's notable. It sure is. It's remarkable. It's so funny. Sometimes you dial into certain frequencies and wavelengths of his spirit. And when you and him get on that perfect channel, it's like there's nothing that's impossible for your life. And there's just a sweetness. There's a release of his sweetness. Thank you, Jesus. So we receive that, Lord. We receive that, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we honor you today. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for ministering to us as we minister to you in worship. I just feel better from you being in the room. I thank you for what you have planned today. God, let your plans reign in this place. That's why we're all here. We just want Jesus. So we honor you today, Lord. We bless your holy name. It's in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus, we all say. Amen, amen. Why don't you give somebody a hug, a Liberty Life hug, as you sit down. Give me a hug. Thank you guys so much. Oh my goodness. Thank you. Thank you, dude. So good. Well, I'm excited to be with you guys this morning. My name's Andrew Holmes. I am, what am I? I'm a minister at Abundant Life. I'm a father. I'm a husband. I'm a man, you know, that's all very good things. I have my beautiful wife with me this morning, Rochelle, she's here. And my beautiful mother here as well, Deborah. I mean, when you got all the women that you love in one place, I tell you what, it's going to be a good day, right? yes, it does. I'm just so excited to be here with you. Every time that we come and fellowship with Liberty, it's like we're at a second home, you know? It is. It's just like we walk in the door and I'm like, oh, I'm home again. Yeah, it's pretty wild. So I'm excited to be here, and I'm excited to share with you some things that the Lord has put on my heart that are specific to this house and those who are here under the sound of my voice. The first scripture that I want to just communicate to you, we're just going to dive right into it, is that of Acts 2:17. Many of you are familiar with it. And it says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Somebody say prophesy. You know that well here. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Also in John 20, you know this scripture very well, 21 through 22. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he has said this, he breathed on them. Somebody say breathed. And he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. How many of you know we're in a move of God? We are currently in a move of God. Historically, it's unprecedented. unprecedented. And I got the privilege of chewing on the word of the Lord for this house. And you all know very well how powerful it is to be in a move of God. If I'm recalling correctly, all the good things out of the previous moves of God, all the wonderful things that God did in the earth, it's like a culmination of those things have come together and are available in this now move of God. And it's so interesting because in the Hebrew, the way that they look at their years, the calendars, the way that it's broken down is like the year, the new year doesn't do away with the old year. The new year incorporates the years that have come before. So when you get to that new year, it's all the anointing and all the prophecies and all the goodness, all the blessings, all the wonderment from the years previous are available still now. We are in a move of God. We are in a move of God. We're in a move globally throughout the world. We see it all over throughout Africa, China, even Russia. In the Middle East, I've heard reports of Muslims coming to Jesus, not because of the gospel being shared in verbal form, but because they literally see a man in a robe walking through their camps. This is happening. This is happening. In Africa, people are being raised from the dead. Dead and alive. Resurrections. In China, they are experiencing now more than ever such persecution in the church. And where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. We're in a move of God. Nationally, we are in a move of God. And I'm not going to get political. I'm just going to share some things by the Spirit that I do know. Never in my life have I seen the office of the presidency so willing to hear things from Spirit-filled Christian leaders. I don't care who you are, what you believe. Never has there been a moment in history when there has been so much access to the White House. Friends of ours have been in the White House leading worship with the president. What in the world? Hands have been laid on the president, praying in the Spirit over the president of the United States. What in the world? I've never heard of that. Have you? I've never heard of that. We are in a move of God nationally. But it's not because God just wants to come and make us feel great. That's a part of it. But even more so, there's purpose to this move. There's a reason for this move. There's an empowerment in this move that is necessary for us to continue on. See, Jesus is coming back for a bride without spot and wrinkle. It takes a little bit to get to that place. I don't care who you are. You buy a brand new shirt, you pull out the pack. It looks so good in the package. It's got the plastic on. Any of you got buy those shirts and they're like, they come in the plastic. I'm speaking to the gentleman. They've got the collars are so stiff and it's like, man, I can wear that. I've made the mistake once of pulling a shirt out of the package and putting it on and you've got those lines right down the front. And you're like, man, I was deceived. It looked like it was ready to go, but it wasn't. Because there were wrinkles in that thing. I don't care how good it looks. I don't care how good churches are presenting. Listen to me. I don't care how incredible churches seem through live streams and YouTube videos and podcasts. There are still some wrinkles. And that's not a discouragement. That's an encouragement. Because it means that in this move of God, he's just bringing the biggest Stanley steamer, whatever that looks like, to iron out the wrinkles that are yet remaining in the body. Because if there were none, we'd be with him. Does that make sense? Nationally, we're in a move. I just want to remind everyone of some scriptures as we're in this really delicate season. If you've been paying attention to what's happening in the world, we really are called to pray for our leadership. And I know that this is a house of prayer. But I want to emphasize some reasons as to why. Romans 13:1, every person must submit to and support the authorities over him. For there can be no authority in the universe except by God's appointment. Don't let that fly over your head. Which means that every authority that exists has been instituted by God. That's a tough one to swallow. But every authority that is in place has been instituted by God. And sometimes we see leaders that aren't so good. So how does this make sense? I'll tell you how it makes sense. The things that we're seeing that aren't so good are a result of a deficit of prayer. Did you catch that? The things that we are seeing that in office and authority on every level, authority in your home, husband is the high priest, authority at your job, authority in your church, authority in the local government. If there are deficits, it's because we haven't recognized our true authority, that we've been created in the image and likeness of God, and the things that we speak create a response. That's why it was so important when Pastor Don came this morning and said, I just believe there's more of a response that's needed in this moment. Because we are created like him, by him, for him. He gives to us, and we give back to him. So if there's a deficit in the things that we see, there's a need and a response for prayer. Amen? On that thought, 1 Peter 2:17, show proper respect to everyone. Somebody say everyone. Everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Or some translations say king. Show proper respect to everyone. Not just someone. Some people, I'm just going to be honest with you. Can I let my hair down that's not too long? Can I let it down? Sometimes people don't deserve respect. Let's just be honest. Sometimes people that you work with don't deserve any of your respect. Sometimes people that live in your same house. Oh, you laugh too hard at that, man. They don't deserve your respect. But God doesn't call you to give things to people that they deserve. He calls you to be like Jesus, who gave his life. Jesus didn't deserve nothing that he got, but he did it for love. Are you hearing me this morning? Love the family of believers. Big hug to everyone. Fear God. Fear God doesn't mean be scared of him. I know you probably know this, but I just have to elaborate. Doesn't mean be scared of Almighty God who can smite you for doing something wrong. That's not the fear that's being talked about here. Fear means be in holy awe at this wonderful creator who is a father. What? Be in holy reverence. Adore him. Be fascinated by him. Be addicted to his presence. That's what that word fear means. Honor the emperor. Honor the king. Honor offices of authority. Honor the president. I see so much nonsense and garbage being posted on social medias and being talked about. And it's good to have differences of opinion. It's good to have that, so that you can exercise that and get to the bottom of why you feel the way that you feel. Because if you're spirit-led, there's truth there. It's good to have differences of opinion. It's bad, and it hurts God's heart when you dishonor authority. It hurts his heart, and it limits his availability to you. We're going to talk about intimacy a little bit this morning, and one of the things is to protect that intimacy. We're not there yet, but I'm just going to give you a little pre-reel. Protect that intimacy. Guard your mouth. Man, if God says honor authority, don't dishonor authority. What? If God says honor authority, don't talk bad about people in authority. Pray solutions. God spoke. I don't know if this like blows your mind like it blows my mind. God spoke and there was. God said something and things happened. There was nothing but God and his word. Then there was everything. There was nothing, then God and his word, and then there was everything. If you're seeing something that's wrong, you're made in his image and likeness, and you carry his words. Speak solutions. Last scripture on this one. 2 Timothy 2:1-2. I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings, and those in authority, that we may live peacefully and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. I think it says it all right there. We pray. It was so awesome. I got to spend some time with Steve in First Priority and Madi at the schools that they minister to. and there is a resurgence of godliness in the schools. I mean, it blew my mind when we were there. I don't think we even got to debrief, but it blew my mind. It was a gathering with middle school and high school. At the end of the day, they got to gather around for some pizza and also hear the gospel. And kids came from, like, the bell rang, and it was like, you thought you were going to get mugged. I was like, oh, my gosh, you're coming from everywhere. A kid was, like, behind me, climbing over my shoulder, running after the pizza. It was wild. It was wild. And I'm sitting there, and it takes a lot to calm these kids down. And we had like a microphone that didn't work, so I finally just got on a megaphone, and I was yelling at the top of my lungs to get them corralled in. And finally, there was this moment where all of their eyes were locked in. It was like, I mean, it was beautiful. It was like a 2-minute like time frame, and they were all locked in, and they were all listening, and I was talking about the goodness of Jesus. Very simple, practical gospel 101, that he loves you, and he died for you, and he wants you to live for him, and everything is possible through living for Jesus. And I was locking eyes with them, and I'm like, does anyone hear me? And they all responded, yes. And I said, who is he? And they go, Jesus. And I'm like, yes, time to go. It was wild. I mean, it was wild. And I was, in my mind, I was thinking, oh, I got to walk on eggshells here. You know, don't want to offend anybody. How can I squeak the gospel in? How can I just squeak it? Did the Holy Spirit squeak in the upper room? No, I don't think. When Jesus died on the cross, did God just like squeak a little? Oh, I'm so sad. No, the earth went nuts. It got dark and lightning and stuff started to happen. God just doesn't squeak in. You don't have to be politically correct about Jesus. Matter of fact, you better not be politically correct about Jesus. Let me encourage you this morning. There's a reason why people get offended. It's because if you're talking about the Lord and you're spirit-led and you're telling them good things, it's because they have spirits that they need to deal with. And the only way for them to deal with them is through Jesus. Listen to me. Don't hold back on your delivery of the gospel. I'm not telling you to run around with a big Bible and slap people with it. Be led, you know, be led. But don't you dare. I'm encouraging somebody. Don't you dare squeak in Jesus. Don't make him a little thing. Don't make him something that's a topic to be discussed in a class. Man, I remember when I was in college and I took crazy religion courses. I went to a liberal arts college at the time. Oh, so liberal. We had this Bible professor, if you could even say that. And he was like, can I talk about this? He was trying to convince the class. The class was called Biblical Imagination. I'm like, finally, something that I can sit through. Something that will speak to me. I get into this class, and one of the first things he said was, Noah was gay. What? Where do you get that from? He built an ark. How does that happen? And he went on to justify how this all happened, and his son and whoever it was that uncovered his nakedness, and this meant that, and they went into a tent together. What are you saying? And this guy wasn't too smart, because most of his class were Christian kids. And we all looked at each other like, this guy is smoking something that's not of the Lord. And it dawned on me, man, I am in, like, where I went to school, how do I say this? It's like Lance Wanall calls that part of the country the brain of the United States. At Harvard, Yale, Princeton, we played all those schools in football. So it's a very, like, academic place. And kids from all over the world attend this school to learn stuff, to be educated. And this guy is going to talk about my Jesus and my word and just spew this garbage to them? These impressionable college students? That's why I love ministries like First Priority, that will go in and boldly proclaim truth. Because when you speak truth, there's something on it. You don't have to be the most charismatic person to speak truth. Truth speaks for itself. It just needs a vessel to speak it. I don't know if I even understood what I just said, but it was good. Seriously, I cannot believe how much godliness is trying to be removed from schools. My point is that you've got to be bold in this faith. I don't care if you're an extrovert, an introvert, or somewhere in the middle of it. You've got to be okay with proclaiming this beautiful gospel, with proclaiming Jesus. We're in a move of God. We're in a move of God locally. And that's most important. It goes with your word, the word that the Lord spoke through you. The familiar places. We've got to be bold and okay with ministering. And I say ministering the gospel. It doesn't mean you're a preacher or whatever. You just live in your life for Jesus. You're a living epistle, read of all men. It means you walk into a room and people read you like a book and say, Jesus, 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 Jesus. I don't know why he's got Jesus all over him. That's what that means. And you can speak it out and be bold, make a sound. We'll talk about that. Make a sound. But it's not hard. I don't want to discourage you. It's not hard. Living for Jesus is a decision. It's a decision because he gives you grace. He gives you empowerment, spiritual empowerment. He gives it to you. It's not something you have to work or muster up or try to make happen by yourself. You can't study enough. You can't go to the best places to be educated. You can't do enough to get the credentials that you need to do this thing called Christianity. You can't get the credentials that you need. They can come by one source alone, that is Jesus, and by him, his Holy Spirit. That's the only way. That's it. Let me calm down. I'm sorry. Locally, be bold. Be bold in the familiar places. What does that mean? Be bold at home. Some of you may have spouses and loved ones who don't know the Lord or might be compromised in their relationship. Don't make them feel guilty, but love them like Jesus would love them. Some of you work with people who are just not the best people. Love them like Jesus would love them. Encourage them. Speak truth to them. Don't compromise with them. We're in a move of God locally. One of the reasons that I think I can speak to this is part of my job at 4Kids, and thank you all so much for your involvement. This church is like, you're like a saving grace. I specifically recruited this church because of the depth of the spirit here. I said, I need people that are going to pray for these kids, and I know that I can find them, and I found them. And you guys are doing such an incredible job and an incredible work, so I thank you all for partnering with me in that. But I get the opportunity of working with most churches that have significant traction in Broward County and Palm Beach, I get the opportunity to work with because I'm in foster care. And one of the things I'm seeing is that the church, like never before, is uniting. The church is coming together. Baptists, Lutherans, Methodists, they're coming together. They're meeting. They're talking about, okay, well, you love God. I love God. I know we got some differences in our theology and doctrine, but we love God. And let's see what we can do together for God. And the churches, the churches are coming together. There's a convergence, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit too. There's a convergence. There's a grouping. There's a pooling of people coming together. And they're rallying around social injustice issues like human trafficking. I had the privilege of hosting an event for human trafficking last night. Really, really incredible. To get 100 men, it was just for men, to get 100 men in a room and talk about an issue like human trafficking. To teach them, listen, this is what's going on. These are the applications that they're seeking children. This is technology. There are technology out there right now that can pinpoint where child pornography is and whose computer it's on. There's technology right now that can do that. And they work with local law enforcement to do so. There are tactical teams run by ex-military, and they have helicopters, planes, jets, submarines to go and rescue people who are being human trafficked. These things that are so close to the Father's heart, to crush the head of the serpent. It's happening. Where's the church? Well, we're uniting. I will say that. The church is uniting like never before. But I see that there's still a need. There's still a huge need. And it's for people who are intimate with the Holy Spirit to rise up and be a part of this move. It's one thing to have good-hearted people together. It's another thing to have people who are led by the Spirit, who seek His face more than anything else, who value His presence more than anything else. The crazy people, you guys. It's one thing to get people together around a good cause. It's another thing to plant the Spirit deep within that ground. That's what's needed, Liberty. That's what's needed. What I'm seeing locally in this move of God, we need more deep lovers of the Lord. And that is not a knock against anyone. It's not a knock against anyone or anything, but I'm talking to the right people this morning. This move of God needs deep lovers of the Lord to be on the front lines. I want to read this to you. It's one you know as well. John 20, verse 22. And when he had said to him this, he breathed on them. You know that scripture. And said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. I didn't have much time this week. So last night I really couldn't sleep. And I was like, I gotta dig into this more. And I got up early this morning and I did a little bit of a word study on that word breathed. And in the Greek, in this verse, chapter, and book that it is used, it's called emphyseo. And it's used nowhere else in the New Testament. Nowhere. In fact, it's the same as the Hebrew word nefach. I'm not Hebrew, so nefach. Which means to breathe. And that word is found in Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. That breath of God in Genesis that started creation, after God was finished shaping and forming Adam from the dust of the ground, and after God knelt over him and breathed into his nostrils, life began. In this verse, it is the same type of breath. Jesus breathed again that breath of life. Jesus breathed again. And do you know what he breathed out? Do you know what it was? It was the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit, that same Holy Spirit, is constantly available and decides to make his home in you. That's the best place for him. He's not in heaven. He's not slapping vines with Jesus and the Father. He's here. He's here. He's in this room because you're here. We need those Holy Spirit leaders, those bold, breathed into Holy Spirit leaders, because we're in a move of God. And with any move, I don't know if you've ever seen armies march or military forces begin to go. There's always a move that's required. And it's not just that, oh, we're sending troops or this or that. It's that the troops understand that they're being sent. Are you listening? It's that the troops understand that they're being sent. Oh, my God. It's that the troops understand that they're being sent and that this move of God is you moving. This move of God is you moving. They can send troops all they want, but if the troops don't move, there is nothing that's going to happen. God could release words through his prophets as much as he wants, but if there's no response, there's no move. It's not something that you just sit and experience. That's not a move of God. It's not just something that you read about and get excited about and, oh, yeah, it's time for that. It's not just that. It's like, whoa, that's me. I'm a part of that. I don't know yet what my instructions are, but if God's moving, then he's moving me with him. When there's a move of God, there's movement by his people. Are you moving today? Dear God, Are you moving? Whew. I actually have a prophetic word for this house. The Lord revealed it to me as I was reading John 20:20. And whoever is also here and viewing by live stream. John 20:20 says, when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. You don't really think that there's that much in the scripture, but this is a moment where Jesus is there and they're not like really seeing him. He's present, but it's not like real yet. So Jesus shows them his hands and he shows them his side. When I read that and I read it in that way, the Lord said to me this, this will be a year of divine proof for your house that will displace all doubt about who I am and what I'm doing. The areas that have looked like I've been absent, uninvolved, or I have overlooked you, I have not. Yes, I am bringing divine proof that will drive away all doubt. There are places in your life that you've believed God for. There are places in your journey with him that you've been expecting him to do something. And to your knowledge of the word, you've been standing on it as best as possible. But I'm telling you, Jesus is coming. And he's going to show you his hands. He's going to show you that in that season, he never left you. He didn't forsake you. He was with you the whole time. He's going to show you his side, that he already did the work. And it's going to instill confidence back into you. Divine proof. 2020, year 2020, right? Your deepest places of hurt and disappointment. Your deepest places of hurt and disappointment. Jesus is going to show you his hands. He's going to show you his side. He's there. And the solution is in him. It's in the holes. It's in his death and his resurrection. In the prophecy that I was listening to that impact, I mean, there was like four or five confirmations that I had for my personal life. So I don't know. I'm just going to plug the prophecy. If you haven't read it, if you haven't downloaded it and slipped it in your Bible, if you hadn't listened to it on the podcast, listen again. Listen and chew that thing up, because there is so much, not just for this house, but for what the Lord is doing right now. I myself personally have had four or five different confirmations through that word. But one of them that really stuck out to me was that convergence. And somebody's got to keep me on track with time. I'm good? Okay. Everybody's like, you're good. That's good to hear. It's bad when they're like, you're running out. And it's like, we've got 30 minutes to go. You're, shut up. That word convergence, it was mentioned in that word from the Lord. And I've heard the term convergence. I've studied it a little bit, and I know some of the definitions of it. And I Googled some of them, and I'll just read some of them to you today, because it's interesting what the dictionary definitions are versus like what God's definitions are. Convergence is the process or state of converging. That's tough, isn't it? The act of converging and especially moving toward union or uniformity. Those definitions of convergence don't really light my fire. It's just, that's great. Thank you. A definition that I'd like to use is, it's when the fullness of something, when something is at its fullest time, moment, its most ready, meets the fullness of another thing, when it's right and most ready, and they come together in a time like none other. Unprecedented. That is convergence. Let's look to creation, because I believe that in creation we see hints of who God is. There's a scripture in Romans that talks about how we can see secrets about who God is by looking at nature. We can build buildings and stuff and create, and when you look at them, you're like, oh my gosh, that's man. Yeah, man did that. He made it level. He made it straight. He put the colors on the wall. But when you look at a tree, or you look at a flower, or you look at things that are naturally occurring in nature, you look at water, you look at rain, you look at cycles, and God hides himself. He hides his characteristics. in them. That the more you can allow yourself to see and know about nature, his creation, will lead you to knowing more about him, the creator. So if you look to geology, right, the study of the earth, there are places called convergence zones. Any teachers in here? Good. So you probably know this. Convergence zones. Don't yell at me if I don't say it right, okay? And there are these tectonic plates, right, that are like, they're like sliding on top of the earth. It's like all the land masses and water sits on these tectonic plates. And at some places, convergence zones, they come together and they begin to push and collide and crash and mold and fold. And in these places of earth, when these tectonic plates collide, those are the places where there are the most significant earthquakes. Those are the places where there are the most significant volcanic eruptions. New land masses begin to form because of the rock that's coming out of the earth and creating new places. It is the hottest places on the earth, aside from inside the earth, on the top layer of the earth, there are the hottest places, like places that you go and you just evaporate because it's so hot. You can't even get close because it's so dangerous. There is a volcano in 1883. It was literally regarded as the world's loudest sound in a convergence zone. The most tremendous sounds are emitted. This volcano in 1883 was so fierce and so loud that when it exploded, it ruptured the eardrums of people 40 miles away. 40 miles. Something just happened in Jupiter. Your eardrum just popped. It was heard clearly for 3,000 miles away. An eruption from a volcano in a convergence zone. That's geology. Let's look at meteorology. I know a lot of you know about the weather, hot air, and cold air coming together and what it creates, but it's the meeting of those currents when the hot meets the cold. And in those places, it creates the most tremendous clouds and thunderstorms. And out of those thunderstorms, again, sounds, lightning and thunder. Most common in these convergence areas. Hurricanes are most commonly created in convergence zones. Hurricanes that have forces that are like 10,000 nuclear bombs together, created in a convergence zone. Think about that. Oceanography. When you have warm water currents and cold water currents and they come together, this blows my mind. Any of you have watched Planet Earth or like those nature shows? I love them. I mean, my wife thinks I'm a hippie because I can just literally sit down and watch like Planet Earth for hours, like binge watch for hours. Because I love it. Because to me, I'm seeing God. I'm seeing what he's done. I'm seeing his ways. But it's not for everyone, and that's okay. But in these current areas, when they come together, when they collide, especially in the ocean, it is regarded as the areas where most life is formed. The most significant biological activity occurs in a convergence zone. The Lord released a word through you about a converging. If all of these things and all of these ways happen in the natural, in creation, imagine what's happening now in the spirit. Imagine what's happening in the convergence zone of the Spirit, Jesus. When God says there is a move, and people feel and know that the one who they're intimate with is bringing a move, And they get off, they get out of their chairs and they say, I'm a part of this move. I might not know yet what I'm doing, but I'm going to start moving because God's doing something. And I know with the intimacy that I have with him, he's going to lead me and direct me. Here's the thing with those who love the Lord, like deep lovers of the Lord. Sometimes you don't know exactly which way to go or what to do. But the moment that you start moving, you create this energy, this spiritual energy. And that's not weird universalism. That's just God. You create this energy. And when you start moving, even if you're not moving in quite the right direction, because you're going with the flow of the Spirit, you begin to be turned into the right direction. And you begin to follow the Lord because it's him, the one that's leading you. It's him, the one that's inspiring people to come together. It's him that's the one that's releasing these prophetic words that point us in the direction that we're called to go. You're in a move of God, dear Lord. And there's a convergence. The fullness of something, meeting the fullness of something. Acts 2. Remember that sound? Like a mighty rushing wind? Convergent zone. Like that volcano. Heard ruptured eardrums for 40 miles. What if in praise and worship, we got to a place that was so special and so one with the Savior and the King that they heard it in Tallahassee? I can't explain it. I'm hearing something. Transcending the spiritual realm into the natural realm because of our oneness with the Lord. Do you remember the tongues of fire? Remember the tongues of fire? Convergence zone. Convergence. Fire comes. Think about that volcano. The hottest places on our earth is in those convergence zones. The hottest places in the Spirit are when we're with him converging in the Spirit. Tongues of fire. Fire in Acts 2, fire in a convergence zone. Isaiah 45:8, rains of righteousness. Rains of righteousness. Rain in a convergence zone. We are going to see the rain. I don't know if you believe that. I don't know if you understand that. But in a convergence zone, you're going to get a thunderstorm. You can bet your bottom dollar. When the fullness of something reaches the fullness of something, there's going to be an equal and an opposite result. We will see rains of righteousness here. We will see human trafficking demolished here. We will see foster care destroyed because Christian families are raising up biological families and taking children into their home. We will see rains of righteousness. We will see rains of righteousness because we're in a convergent zone. We're in a place where the fullness of something meets the fullness of another thing. Dear Lord, John 10:10, life. In a convergence zone, there's life, teeming with life. I don't know if you've ever seen that episode of Planet Earth, but it's like the plankton and the krill come in because the waters are meeting and they're feeding off the biological material. And then the whales come in and they scoop up all the plankton and the krill. And then the tuna are coming because they're eating the sardines that are eating the krill. And then sharks come. And then all these representations of life meet in one place. I don't know if you're hearing this. All these representations of life meet in one place because of the life that's been created. You carry the life and the light on the inside of you. People will come from the north, south, east, and west to see what's going on. I don't know, but people are getting fed. Like, things are happening there. Like some guy got healed. I don't know. How does that happen? I got to come see it. Life attracts life. People need the supernatural. People need to see Jesus. People need to know that this world and how we walk through this lesser life on earth, they need to know that there is a kingdom of heaven where every wrong is made right. And in you, God sets in your heart eternity, life, the Spirit, the breath. We're in a convergence zone because we're in a move of God. It's time to release a sound. It's time to release a sound. We can no longer stay quiet. We must release a sound. It's no longer an option, ladies and gentlemen. It's a requirement. To be in a move of God, you must make a sound. You must make a sound. And maybe you're not a talkative person, and that's okay, because people are going to ask you questions about how it is that you live the way that you do and why it is you're blessed the way that you're blessed. You better be ready to tell them who it is. You better be ready to share with them your faith. Listen, this isn't little league Christianity. We're in the major leagues. We're swinging the bat for the fences. This isn't a little walk in the park anymore. The time is now. We're in a move of God. We're in a move of God. And if you're in a move of God, you're moving, right? It's time to worship in that sound. And I don't know what worship looks like for you. I know that you know good worship. You know great worship. You know intimate worship. But when you leave here, don't leave worship at the altar. The same posture of your heart. You don't have to be a singer, but you can sing. You don't have to sound good or what good we think good sounds like. You just got to open your mouth. Everyone has a song. And songs release things that nothing else can. Songs release things. Opening your voice, making a joyful noise, does something in the spirit that nothing else can do. It's an instruction from the Lord. It is a clue. It is a key on how you bring His kingdom to your earth. You've got to worship. Don't leave it here. Worship in the car. Even if you don't feel anything, even if you think you're terrible, you're not. God loves it. I remember Olivia, my daughter, she's really fascinating to me. Like, she just blows my mind. One of the things she does, she got this microphone for Christmas, and she loves Frozen. Into the Unknown. And she'll sing that song, and she'll do so good with it, because her mom and I both sing, and she'll do so good with it. But then there's this part of the end where, like, it's real big and then real high, and she's three. So she hits the note, and she goes, into the air! And I'm like, oh, yes, I love it. Oh, my God, that is outstanding. That's outstanding. And I love it. I'm like, give me more. Now, if anyone else heard that, they might be like, does she have something? Does she have a condition? So we'll pray. We'll lay hands. We believe in that here. We'll lay hands on her. No, she don't got no condition. She's just singing. Maybe some people think you got a condition. But God loves the way that you sound. He loves it. He can't get enough of it. Declare the word. Declare the word. God's given you promises in the word. He's given you scriptures. If you don't have some, read through that prophecy. Littered throughout there. It's everywhere. Declare those scriptures. I'm not just saying read it. No, yeah, God so the Lord, He gave His only begotten Son. It's great. No, but like declare it. Like speak it to something. Like speak it when you walk to your house. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish. Nobody perishes in my house. They will know the Lord. Declare it over your job. That's like Christianity 101. We all have got scriptures. Declare them. Make a sound. You want to know something so special about the Word too? John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. It was with God and was God. Jesus is the Word. Can I see your Bible real quick? Why did you pick on me? I didn't want that. Every letter on the page is what Jesus looks like. Look, I have Jesus right here. Look, here He is. Every sentence, every comma, every reference, every address, look, it's Jesus. You have to realize that the Word is that literal. The Word is Jesus. But if we're too familiar with this word, we'll overlook that we have the Savior with us everywhere that we go. Like, look at this. This is Jesus. Get excited about the word. Because when you speak this word, you speak Jesus. That's Jesus. Like, bing. It's Jesus. Like, everybody's looking for, like, Jesus signs. And did he really? Of course he did. I don't believe that. Blah, blah, blah. He's right here. He's in the word. That's what the Bible says. He is the word. And when you read the word and declare the word, things happen. Man, some of you have been believing and contending for things. And I'm yelling so loud, I unbutton my shirt. Contending for things, hoping for things. You just need to inject some of that word. Just inject some of that word. It's him. It's our measuring stick. It's our reference point. It's truth. We said a little bit about that. Truth. The only volume for truth is all the way up. Truth is not diminished in any way. Truth can't be turned down. Truth can't be overlooked. Truth has a name, and his name is Jesus. So when you speak the word, you're speaking Jesus. You're speaking truth to a society that needs truth. I'll give another example. Disciplining children. Mom, you may want to leave. I'm just kidding. Olivia, my oldest daughter, I have two, Olivia and Justice. Justice is like the sweetest ever. Like, she'll come, she'll lay with you. And for the first, like, year of her life, she was just so reserved and mom, and just wanted to be around mommy and nurtured. And then when she hit one, boy, she turned all the way up. She became truth, is really what happened. And she, some of you this morning heard a child screaming. And I heard, she says, is that a baby? I heard it. I was in the back room. I was like, I heard people talking because I knew Justice started screaming. And people were like, dear God, is that a baby? Since they have that throat thing too going on? Jeez. And Justice turned all the way up. She's got so loud of nowhere. She gets so loud. But Olivia is like that too, but all the time. And and sometimes she's got such a strong personality. Sometimes, like, when you talk to her, it doesn't, nothing works. You're like, please don't do this, stop. You know, like, it's just, it's hard to get through her because she thinks she's so right. So occasionally, oh, dear Lord, you know, just a little, and it's not like, okay, spanking's a good thing, right? So not with any object. I was a child protective investigator. I know all the rules by law. I'm totally good. When she gets to a point where there's no return, a little, did you hear that? You didn't, because it was soft, and that's how I discipline my children. I mean, just the lightest little tap, and she's like, and she like melts for like 15 minutes, and she just like, because I don't do it often. I mean, maybe 4 or 5 times her whole life, and she's 3 and wild. And she comes back to herself. She remembers what's right and what's wrong. When you declare the word in this world, it's like a remembering of what is right and what is wrong. Even if they resist it, even if they deny it, even if they argue it, I promise you this, deep down inside, they know. Because deep calls to deep. And the earth groans. The earth is groaning for sons and daughters to know who they are. And when you declare truth, I don't care if it's the atheist of all atheists. I don't care. When you deposit that in his heart, there's something that you can't see that happens to him or her. Because that's what truth does. Declare the word. Prophesy. 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 Declare those things that be not as though they are. Prophesy. Encouragement is prophecy. When you encourage someone in the Lord, you're prophesying. When the Lord speaks to your heart, prophesy. Release the word of the Lord. In this move of God, this massive move of God, in any military mission, if you will, there's a lot of directives because it takes a lot of communication and a lot of direction. There's a lot of commanders and sergeants, and the flow of communication has to happen. Directives must be given for the move to happen, for the mission to take place. God is speaking to his generals and is speaking to his army, his lieutenants, his sergeants, direction for what he's needing from this move. Listen, prophesy. It gives direction. Make a sound. Talk about Jesus, very simply and plainly. Talk about Jesus. Very practically, very real. Share your testimony. If something good happens to you tomorrow or today, post about it. Man, and give Jesus the credit. If you landed safely in a flight, tell somebody, thank God, we're here. You made it to work on time, and some of you struggle with that. God, I thank you. Hey, boss, I made it to work on time. Thank God. Jesus gets all the glory. Very practically, fill your speech. Here's why. Fill your speech with Jesus. Because when you're squeezed, and that will happen, when you are squeezed, what's going to come out of you, it's what's been coming out of you. Truth, Jesus. Fill your speech with Jesus. He's everything. He's in everything. He gives us everything, and we give everything back to him. He is the flow of this world. The last point I want to make today is in regards to intimacy. So we talked about there being a move of God. We talked about making a sound. And lastly, we're going to talk about intimacy. It's so important. If you even look at the examples of marriage, intimacy of relationship, not just physically, intimacy is everything. You can lose your intimacy and just go through the motions and do marriage the way that it should be done, but you're really dying. The marriage is dying. If there's one thing I've heard more than anything in regards to marriage, is protect that intimacy. Guard it. Like it says in the Bible, wives, submit to your husbands. That's not a demeaning thing that the Bible would say. That's his order. That's the way that he blesses it. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Lay your life down for her. That's a hard one. But it's something we must do. Intimacy with Jesus. Walk with the Lord. Literally, I'm going to challenge you guys. Walk with the Lord. We have a friend who's a musician, and he was speaking to me about things that the Lord had been sharing to him. And one of the points he was making was that the Lord is restoring what times were like in the garden. The glory of Eden. Walk with the Lord, I dare you. Walk with the Lord. Sacrifice the convenient things to be with him. Sacrifice the convenient things to be with the Lord. Protect that intimacy. Walk with the Lord. Give him everything. Give him your home. Give him your job. Give him your friends. Literally, brainwash yourself that Jesus isn't everything. Because if he's washing your brain, you're in a good spot. I had somebody one time in high school tell me that I was brainwashed because I was a Christian. I said, you bet I am. What greater compliment could I get? I'm not telling you to be irrelevant. There's a fine line. Don't be irrelevant. Be genuine and authentic, but love Jesus radically. Protect your intimacy. Sacrifice those times where you would spend watching TV or the news or folding laundry, something notable. Order a pizza. Don't make dinner one night and be with Jesus. Take those 45 minutes, take that hour that you would to do something that's good and be with him. Watch how he rewards you. It'll be wild. Mark my words. It will be wild. My wife and I, we stopped our belief in cable a few years ago. We only do like streaming stuff, right? Typical millennials. So we stream Netflix, Hulu, and we would watch like these new shows that come out, and they got all the money behind them. They're edited the best. They've got the best cast, and they're like cutting edge, and everyone talks about them. They're on the news, and you sit and you watch these shows. You're like, yeah, that's great. Ooh, man, I wish I didn't see that. I wish I didn't hear that. And God, sometimes we would fall asleep, and we wake up, and we'd be like, oh, why do I feel so heavy and bad? You can't trust. You can't trust this world with your heart. You can't trust this world with your heart. Some of you maybe need to not watch some things on TV. That's a very practical example. Some of you may need to find another show or not a show at all. I'm telling you, it might be boring the first couple of times. You might not feel the Spirit. It might not be exciting. You may not want to do it. It happens to me. But sacrifice these convenient things, these lesser things. Sacrifice them. Because here's the thing. You only get one shot at this earth. You only get one life to live on this earth. After this earth, everything is right. It's perfect. It's great. We're in heaven forever, eternity, loving Jesus, worshiping him. It'll be the best time of your life because it'll be forever. But while we're here, we're going to go through some stuff. I used to not really believe that. I believe that now. Bad things can happen. Things that you don't want. Things that breaks God's heart. They happen. Oh, and they hurt. But that doesn't mean he's not there. And when you decide to cry out to him in the moment of your brokenness, you'll never have that opportunity to cry out to him again. It does something. It sets the course for your eternity. Love him while you can here on earth. Give him everything while you can here on earth. Because when we're in heaven, we're going to be doing it. There's going to be no contention. There's going to be no option but to. But here, sacrifice those convenient things. Protect your intimacy. If you're around relationships that chip away at your intimacy, there's a sense of urgency on this. Sever ties. Sever those relationships. I'm not saying to be rude and hurt people, but sometimes when you decide not to be in a relationship, it hurts people. I've had friends that I love, still love very dearly, that I just don't really talk to anymore. In college, when I had a radical encounter with the Lord in college, and I used to be, it's not time for testimony, but like I used to go out and party and have fun, football player, blah, 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 life of the party. And then when the Lord met me, it all stopped. It all stopped. And my friends would come around. I may have shared this with you before. My friends came around. They said, what's wrong with you? You're depressed. You're depressed, aren't you? That's how you interpret this joy that I have? The world couldn't take it from me. That's how you... You may hurt some people, may get weird opinions about you because you're protecting your intimacy. Listen to me. If you have a heart issue and you're in need of work on your heart, are you going to go to a bone doctor? Thank you, sir. No. No. You can't trust a bone doctor with the thing that keeps you alive. Some of you can't trust the people that you're in relationships with your heart. Listen to me. This is serious. I really feel a sense of urgency on this. The Lord has called you as a special people. Don't throw your pearls to the pigs. Don't do it. Don't do it. You don't need to be whatever it is that they think they need you to be. I'm preaching to myself. Guard your hearts. Don't give your heart. It needs to be in the hand of a heart specialist. Don't put it in the hands of a bone doctor. If you're a bone doctor, I love you. Don't do it. It's not right. It doesn't make sense. It'll get you hurt. May even get you killed. Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes real quick. Thank you, Jesus, for being in the room today, for being in our lives today. Thank you, Lord, that you're with us and you strengthen us and you love us. Thank you, Father, that we've been able to have this time to hear about your move, to hear about making a sound, to hear about being intimate with you. And today, I believe that the Lord is releasing something. And I didn't really know how this was going to pan out, but I think it's perfect in his presence. I'm just going to pray over you, everyone, because I feel like everyone in some capacity was touched by this particular thing. And the particular thing is protecting that intimacy. Protecting the most vital thing that you have to offer the Lord during your tenure here on earth. Intimacy. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I was driving in my truck and the Lord spoke to me very clearly. Tears began to flow from my eyes. He said, I'm releasing a grace to protect that intimacy, a spiritual empowerment. And I'm also releasing angelic assistance to protect that intimacy. Some of you have cycles of things that aren't necessarily bad. They're just not beneficial. They're not necessarily sin, but they're chipping away at your intimacy with him. And the one thing that I know from the Lord that I'm to impart to you today is the grace that he's releasing that's accompanied by angelic assistance. I've never had the Lord speak to me something like that before. And it's for you today. So, precious Holy Spirit, you're here, moving through every aisle, every seat, saturated with the presence of Almighty God. You're here, and we fully believe in your word, in your Son. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you've come today to empower, to reach into those places, those cycles that we have that don't let us go to the next intimate place with you. We all have got them. Those blocks that we come up against, the ones that are beyond our ability. So right now, I just declare and I prophesy the release of that grace and that angelic assistance to break those cycles, to protect the intimacy. Lord, would you help us make sacrificial decisions to be with you, King Jesus? Would you break our hearts, Jesus, so deeply that we can only be with you, that you're the one. We love you. We want to weep as Mary did at your feet. We want it all to be about you. We want every breath to be to you and from you. One piece of that meaning of the word breath that we spoke about was to give up. That literally God had to give up breath so that we could have it. Jesus had to give up life so that we could have it. You love us enough. Who are we not to give up something for you? Empower your people today with grace. Empower them to protect intimacy. Take us to those deep places that we long to go to. Holy Spirit, just take a moment to search yourself and identify what that could be, take a moment to search deeply. Look into yourself. Look into your heart. And I believe the Holy Spirit will reveal to you the thing, the cycle, the show, the friend, the decision that needs to be made. Maybe it's speech. Maybe it's idle talk. Fill your mouth with Jesus. He'll give you grace. Maybe it's a relationship that you don't belong in. He'll give you grace and boldness to end the relationship in love. Maybe it's a resentment in your heart and you didn't even know it was there. He'll give you what you need to forgive. How can we not, as we've been forgiven much? Deep within yourself. Deep within yourself. Precious Holy Spirit. Now may God there be a move that shakes not just South Florida, but the whole state. Florida became the number one destination of living, I think, this past couple weeks, surpassing Texas. Can I give you a clue? People are coming because they need life. They need a conversion zone. Florida's on God's map. It is. It just is. It's happening. You have a part in that. Last thing I want to do today is gather the seed to be sown into the kingdom. If you've brought an offering today, I don't know how normally this is done, so I'm just going to do it the way that I know to do it. If you've brought something today to give to the Lord, I want you to just prepare that. And if it's through an envelope, or if it's however, if there are plates that that get passed around, the ushers are preparing to do that. But there are unique opportunities in life when we can make a physical and tangible contribution into a spiritual thing. And when God shows up and does something, we have an opportunity to respond. Sometimes response is worship. Sometimes response is declaration. All the time response is sowing some type of seed. So today, as you pray and ask the Lord what it looks like, what seed you are to sow, my prayer for you is that every seed sown, every seed invested into the kingdom produces an eternal harvest. That when you get into the kingdom of heaven, you'll see fruit that you sowed from today, what you sowed into the ground. Sow seed with expectation. Some of you, this seed is tied to the thing, the cycle that needs to be broken. I'm not putting that on everyone, but for those of you who know that that's you, that's you. God gives us very practical opportunities to take down spiritual things. Find the Holy Spirit in everything you do, Jesus, and sow with a great expectation. And I think that, ushers, you can wait on the people. Bless you, Lord.
How many of you received something from that? Amen. Everybody raise their hand. Say, thank you, God, for your word. Now we're going to agree with it, and we're going to live it out. Yes. Okay, so thank you for all your prayers. The hardest fast I've ever done is trying not to talk. Lord Jesus. Okay, so the doctor has advised me, I just want to preach and I want to prophesy, but it's like putting a bit in my mouth. But how many of you know that Satan is afraid, or this would not be the attack? And I won't be silenced, but I choose to be silent as the doctor has advised until I'm completely healed. So you won't hear a lot from me. He did give me permission to say this today. I can't force my voice. And so at least I have a voice. For like 2 weeks, I couldn't even push anything out. So this is it. It is coming back. But I want you to know it's so hard because I love you all so much. And so I said, can I just at least tell them how much I love them? And he said, yes, don't push your voice. I said, okay. So you know that it's true. I honor you, Andrew, for going into the depth of what we needed today. And by going into that prophecy and pulling out what the Lord showed to you, it means so much to me that we have partners outside of this ministry that can carry the same kind of spirit. So thank you so much for that. And how many of you also received from Pharaoh last week? Wasn't it last week? And so we are grateful for what we have in-house, but we are also grateful for relationship. And I want you to know how important it is. And Bishop called me and said, okay, here's the deal. I'm sending people to you whether you like it or not, because I know you too well, and you will try to preach. And so I said, oh man, okay, so how I teach you spiritual authority, now I have to live it, and it's not that much fun, but it is necessary. So is there any announcements we have to make? Where, I guess Eric left. Okay. If they don't show up, I'm not saying it. Okay. So I am going to say this much. I love you. Mm-hmm. But who do we love the most? And who loves us the most? And who loves everyone the most? All right, go be the light.
Thank you for joining us today at Liberty Life Center. We hope you were challenged and encouraged by today's message. Visit us online at libertylifecenter.org, where we have links to other archived messages and even a place to give. Be sure to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/libertylifecenter. We hope you'll join us again next week. In the meantime, embrace, display, and share God's love.